So recently here in the U.S., we had the big Thanksgiving holiday in the last weekend of November. And on one particularly snowy day, I went out for a run in the snow. It was really fun. And while I was running in the snow and enjoying the beauties of nature, I had this thought. What if you could hook up an operation behavior to a WCF service so that it would cache the results and allow you to work, you know, with app fabric caching from WCF? That was a crazy idea, I know, and I don't know, maybe it was the snow that inspired me, so I decided to try to write something like this. Yes, over my holiday break, I was writing some code, but it was really fun, and I was kind of bored anyway, so, you know, it's okay. So today I'm going to show you the results of what I came up with, and I posted it as some sample code that you can take a look at, and if it helps you and you want to use it, maybe it inspires you with an idea, you can use it. If you got some idea of how we could make it better, let me know. So let's take a look at that code. I'm looking at our sample project here, and just look at this. Look at this line right here. This cache result attribute. I put this on a method in my service contract, and I'm just saying, look, you could cache this result for 2 minutes. That's pretty cool. I think that is a real testament to the extensibility of WCF. So I'm going to show you what I did to make this work, and I wrote a bunch of tests to make sure that it's working and everything. In fact, the first thing I always like to do when I load a project like this is run the test. So let's do that first. And to run this test, the first thing we got to do is start the cache cluster. Okay, if you're using App Fabric, you want to be sure that you start the App Fabric cache cluster. And I've done that now. Now let's just run the test to make sure that everything is going good. And tests are great like this, like a sanity check here. So I can see that 16 of 16 tests have passed. So everything is working fine in this solution. So what we have here is WCF has this ability to apply a behavior to an operation declaratively. So I'm declaring what I want. I want this thing to be cached. Now, how do you do this? Well, if we look down here in the project actually has two libraries, one that's just a caching, kind of generic caching library, and has no dependencies on App Fabric, and the other one which has the App Fabric dependency. So here in the caching library, I have this cache result attribute, and that's the class that does the work. So if we look in here, we'll see that this is an attribute. It targets methods, but it also implements IOperation behavior and IOperation invoker. All right, so if we look at the implementations here, we see that when the IOperation behavior methods get invoked here, there's this apply dispatch behavior here. So what I want to do is insert an invoker in the middle of this chain. So when WCF gets the call, it's going to use an invoker to invoke the operation. And I want to get in the middle of this invoke thing. So I have an inner operation invoker, and I insert myself in. I hold on to that inner that other invoker. And that's really all I did in the IOperation behavior. And then down here in the IOperation invoker, you can see that like when I need to allocate inputs, I just use the inner invoker to do that. But here in the invoke method is where you really get the chance to do the work. So it says, okay, well, here's an object instance. It has some inputs. It has some outputs. So we need to invoke this thing. So the first thing I need to do is get a hold of a cache. So first thing, I'll go and look and see, do I have a service host? Like when the constructor for this thing can receive a service host as a parameter. That's useful for testing. And in the case of the declarative behavior, I don't get the service host from the constructor. So what I'm going to do is get it out of operationContext.current.host. Okay, so once I've got my host, then I look in the service host extensions to see if I can find something that implements iServiceCache. If I can't find anything, I'm just going to new up a local cache, which is an implementation of this. It just has an in-memory cache using memory cache, right? If I can find an iServiceCache, it means that somebody somewhere added a cache implementation to the service host's extensions. Okay, and so we'll see how that gets added later. But whatever class it is, it implements iServiceCache. This means you could hook this up to any kind of cache, not just app fabric caching. So there's an option for you. And then now what I need to do is get a key for the cache. Now, there's this property on the attribute called key ordinal. And so I figured, well, okay, you got a bunch of inputs that are coming in as parameters to this method. And if you just said, well, the default is the first input, that is the ordinal zero, that will be the key for our cache. Now, but you could use any number, right? So it could be the third parameter or whatever. And so we'll go off and try to get the key object. Now, once we've got the key object, we need to get a string that represents the key we want to use. And if we have a key object, there's some possibilities. One is that it could be a message. And if it's a message, it means you're using a message contract or a workflow service, for example. And I couldn't work out a good way to extract the key from the message, so I just said it's not supported. That was probably a good way to do it. It's just I gave up on trying to figure it out. So then once we've got that, now the next question is, well, how do we take this object and turn it into a key string? Now, if it's something like an int or a string or whatever already, then it's pretty easy, a simple type of just to string it, you're fine. But if this object is something like a customer object or whatever, then getting the key out of it is a little more complicated. So I created an interface called iServiceCacheKey. And that way, if your object is a complex type, you just implement iServiceCacheKey. And then I'll get that interface and I'll invoke it. I'll invoke the getCacheKey method here to get the key we want to use. Okay, and then the other thing is this vary by operation. So if you have a simple key, like a number, like 1, 10, 100, or whatever, and you stuff these things in the default cache, and then you have another method, a totally different method, right? But it uses just the same kind of number, then your key, when somebody calls the other method, they're going to get a cache response from method A instead of method B. So what I do is I append the name of the operation, I prepend it rather, to the key string. So if the name of the method is getData, the key would be getData1, right? So that way it keeps the cache data unique by operation. All right, and then I simply say, okay, cache, get me that value, all right? And I get this cache data. And I get it in this type called service cache data. And really all this is it has a value which would be the result of the return value of the operation. And then outputs is, if you had any out arguments on that method, then we'll capture the values and outputs. So this is what actually gets stored in the cache, these service cache data things. Okay, so if I found the cache data, then it would not be null, right? And so I simply set up the outputs and I return the return value. So I don't even invoke your object. I just intercept the call, get the cache data, and return that. If I did not find it in the cache, then I use the inner operation invoker to invoke this object, okay? Once it's invoked, then I say, okay, let's put this in the cache and then, new up a time span based on how many hours, minutes, and seconds you want to store it and return the value. And then I have async versions of begin and end here as well, right? So that is the behavior of how it works. And then let's take a look at in the AppFabric caching, I have an AppFabric cache behavior. Now, this guy here is a service behavior. The cache attribute was an operation behavior, so it applies just to one operation. The service behavior applies to a whole service and all the operations that might be in it. And so what we do with the service operation is we need to set, and this one is specifically meant for AppFabric caching. So its job is to get the data cache factory set up and add it to the service host. All right. So it has a constructor where it takes the operations that you want to apply the cache to. And then it has one where you can set it up with the data cache factory. If you don't set up the factory, it's just going to new up a default data cache factory and it will store it. Right. And then here's the service behavior members. And this is where we get the thing right here. Okay. So what we're going to do is add an AppFabric service cache. This is an implementation of iService cache. We're going to add it to the extensions of the service host, so that way we can always find it from the extensions collection. And then we go through all the endpoints and all the operations, and we say, well, if this operation is in the collection that we were initialized with, then we'll add that cache attribute behavior. So even if the contract did not have the cache attribute on it, you could add the cache operation behavior declaratively through config. All right. And that's good because there might be times when you want to cache using a contract that you don't want to modify for some reason, or maybe you can't modify it. And I have an example of this in the test code. If we look at this app config, you can see here that when I want to use the AppFabric caching behavior, I add a behavior. In this case, I'm using the default behavior with no name. And I add the AppFabric caching behavior, and then I can add the operations that I want it to cache, and then how long, minutes, seconds, hours, or whatever. So this way I could apply the caching declaratively through here. If I've got the attribute on the contract, then like you can see here in the web config, then I don't have to do that. And then we see right here, I just add AppFabric caching behavior. So that way I get the behavior that's going to use AppFabric caching. And I don't have to specify the operations if I don't want to. Now, be sure, if you're using AppFabric caching behavior, that you also add a section up here for the AppFabric caching. So you have to add the data cache client config section, the list of cache hosts here, and then you're good to go. If you don't add this config, then the data cache stuff will blow up and say, you know, I don't have any cache config. All right, so let's run a little test here with this app. All right, so I have in my web app here a little sample data repository, and this is just kind of simulating something like a repository you would typically go get data out of a database or something. In this case, I'm just reading them out of a dictionary. So I'm going to set a breakpoint here so we can see when our repository is invoked. And then our service is just simply going to pass the call down into the repository. So you see it just says that sample data repository get, all right? Now, let's run our app. Okay, so here's the app, and it's just really simple. I can just type in a key here. So let's put in a key value of 2. We'll click test. And we see we broke in the repository because we're fetching the value, so our service was invoked. Now if I click it again, notice we didn't even break in the debugger because the response was returned out of the cache. So let's just test it again with value 3. We go in there, and if we do it again with value 3, we don't go. Value 2, don't go. And in fact, you can tell this is an AppFabric cache because if I start this up again, okay, and now this is a new session, right? Okay, if I do key 2, you see we got the response value. We didn't break in the debugger. Key 3, key 4, now we break in the debugger. All right, so this is just kind of a sample of the kind of thing you could do where you can hook up a behavior for caching to your service layer and apply it declaratively through config or declaratively on your contracts. It's a lot of fun. I really wished I could figure out how to make it work with the workflow service. I still got some ideas there, but it's not really working there yet. But we have some caching activities for workflow services. And of course, you could always check the cache inside of your service method. So, you know, you could definitely do that. But this gives you a way where you could apply caching to service code that already exists, is already written, or maybe even code that you don't have the source for, and apply caching behavior that way. Be careful. The behavior, this is just an idea, and I hope you enjoy it. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.